Good morning. Do greet each one in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Thank you for being here. And may we together experience the grace and the peace of God as we continue in the service here. Thank you, Brother Myron, for taking that opportunity to share with us. Really appreciated the thoughts that you brought out. Where would we be without the tenderness of Jesus? It really, really took and continues to take a tender heart of Jesus to work with fragile people like us. So very, very thankful for that. Brother Abe, thank you for that children's lesson. Sometimes it's easier just to say yes or no and not mean it, right? But yeah, may our yea be yea and our nay be nay. Well, we hope to conclude our series in the series of messages on habits to kick. And really, I felt like today's message should actually be two. I want to make it a combination of two thoughts. And honestly, I have even too much and just want from the one aspect of it for us to share with you. So I'm going to skip over to try to just get through one. But I think the concept will come out still, even though we won't allude to the second aspect of it, and maybe we'll do that at a later time. But so this will be part 7 and message number 8 in this series. Now, I'm not going to take the time to write on the board because that makes the message take even longer. So just a quick mental recall here. So what are the 7 messages that we have preached already? What was the first one? Spiritual laziness. Spiritual laziness. Number 2. Picking up former habits. Number 3. No. That is one, but that's not number 3. Ignorance, correct. Number 4? No. That one's next. Irresponsibility. Number 5? Discouragement. Number 6, Brother John? That's right. And lastly, which 2 weeks ago, what was the message that we preached then? Indifference. So here we are, and you might be wondering, okay, so what is going to be the concluding message in this series? Allow me, before I bring to you what it is, allow me to say this. There are many, many more habits that we could bring into this whole series. If you remember when we started out, I had thought it would be tight for one message, would have to take a second one, and here we are on number 8. Obviously, we've taken and added to the thoughts that we originally want to bring out. But yeah, here we are on number 8. Before we unveil it, let's stand to our feet, have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you here this morning, and we give you thanks for this opportunity to be together in this fashion again. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to put ourselves under the sound of your word. And Father, once again, we pray that your blessing, you would put your blessing on your word, that it would be life-giving, that it would be active in our lives. We pray, Father, that you would help me keep my thoughts and just bring to mind the things I need to share and forget the things that don't need to be shared. We pray that by your Spirit you would minister to us. Give us grace to hear and to understand and to apply. We commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I think I said this over the last two, habits that we covered, comparing ourselves and the spirit of indifference, that I got a little, maybe a little closer to home, something we could all relate to or identify with, and today's is no different. Today might be the closest to home yet. I really feel like I'm here this morning, and I have an overload before me. The habit that we're going to look at here this morning is one that's going to hit close to home, and it's could in many ways some could find it sensitive. Some can find it quite personal, but I want to assure you, I have no one person in mind. My heart is that we would just simply take an honest look at this one, just like we did at the other ones, and just see where we're at, and see if there's a habit that needs to go. So without knowing what it is, can we commit ourselves to just hearing it, receiving it? Today we're going to talk about technology. And now you know why I said some will find it sensitive. You know why? Some will feel might be a little bit personal. Let me ask a question. Is technology wrong or sinful? Yes? No? No. And I'm agreed. It is safe to conclude, I believe, that we all use some form of technology in the world that we live in today. Just some of the technology that we use today, or quite a bit of the technology that we use today, is dated. And it's lost its newness, it's lost its excitement, and so we hardly think of it as technology anymore because it's common, it's just something we grew up with. But it's technology nonetheless. If we want to get away from technology, we would have to remove ourselves out of this planet. Right? It's the only way to get away from technology. Not just this, but we're going to use this that symbolizes technology, that summarizes technology, because we have pretty much everything in here. Or we can have pretty much everything in here if we want. This will represent the World Wide Web. It'll represent the computer. It'll represent our cameras. It'll represent our social media platforms. It represents pretty much everything we know that's associated with technology. If we want to get away from it, we have to get out of this, off of this planet. And you know what? To get off of this planet will take technology, other than if the Lord takes us out. So the answer is, this in and of itself is not wrong or sin. How many of us still view a gadget like this as a tool? Some hands go up. A number of hands go up. This tool, now, not just a phone, but technology. As a tool, technology was not made with God in mind. You agree? Whoever invented whatever aspect of technology, most of it, I think it's pretty safe to conclude, they did not do it for the advancement of God and His kingdom. It was a means of being connected down here. It was, in many ways, made with the idea of advancing this earthly kingdom, this worldly kingdom. Now, I could have brought a knife up here and say, so just pretend I'm holding a knife. Is a knife a tool? Yes, okay. Was that tool, the knife, designed for the use of murder or something good? Something good. It's a little different than this one. That's my point. We have tools that have been made for, yeah, this is for man's benefit too, but this really is, and I'll read you some statistics and whatnot that will bear out the fact that this was actually designed to bind us, to cripple us, to trip us. You know, you think of the World Wide Web, www dot and then whatever. Picture a web, a spider web. You ever study a spider web? I actually find it fascinating watching a spider spin. And they spin their web, and they do it just so. It's fascinating, actually, very fascinating to watch. What's the plan? What's the goal with that web? Just so the spider has something to do? Or does a spider catch what? Me and you?
Whoever gets in it.
Hopefully, they're hoping some mosquito, some fly, something smaller will get caught in this web, and it will be their lunch, their supper. Right? It's for their intake. I don't think it's by accident that it's called the World Wide Web. Now, I don't like walking into webs. You like walking into webs? You're going out for a walk somewhere and oh, you have this spider web all over your face. I don't like that. But that's easy to deal with. You get entangled with this web. This thing becomes an addiction. It's hard to get out of. Very hard to get out of. Let me ask you another question. Are there dangers associated with the use of technology? Raise your hand if you agree that there are dangers associated with technology. Okay. Now I have a very sobering question to ask. Most of us, or a number of us, agree that this can be a tool. We now agreed that there's dangers associated with this thing. Then why? Then why? I almost don't like to say this or do this, but why does every 12, 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old need to have one of these? is the question. Why has this thing become one of those things that is a must when you turn a certain age almost? I'm not here suggesting a certain age, then you get one, or you have to be a certain age before you can get one. This, if it's a tool, should be viewed as a tool. So if you're not a carpenter or a framer, why do you want to walk around with a hammer? Just because? Looks good, right? Others carry around a hammer, so I'm going to carry a hammer. No, we wouldn't do that with a simple tool like a hammer. It'd look kind of foolish. Now I know, and I realize, there's convenience here. There's a lot of conveniences right here. There's also a lot of inconveniences here. And we need to just keep that in mind. I don't think this thing should be a thing of age. It should be a tool of need. I hope you can hear me. Just because I turned 16 doesn't mean I'm entitled to this tool, per se. Are there dangers involved? We said yes. But guess what? It's part of the web. So of course it's going to be dangerous. I don't want to speak bad of our government, but have you noticed how the last 4 years or so, more so maybe than ever, that our government is pushing to make this thing available for everyone? They say it's a must. They are spending billions of dollars trying to make access to the World Wide Web available to everyone. And they're doing it at the taxpayers' expense. They say government funded, but where do those funds come from? It's our tax dollars. Just in the last year or so, here they're doing in the major infrastructure over to Point Pelee Island. Pelee Island. Because it's, you hardly have any service there. And you know, if you and I go over to the island for a day, we're happy to be able to connect. And they're going to be happy to connect. My point is this, the government, the system of this world is pushing this thing. And when typically, when this political world pushes something, it should cause some flags within us. When they pushed mandates to get vaccinated, we kind of went, whoa, take a step back. What's the agenda? Because we recognize where it was coming from. We recognize it wasn't necessarily for the benefit of one's health. Not that none were helped, but a lot of people were not helped. And so we took a step back. We said, mm-mm. It's the same people pushing this. This is the point. There's an agenda. And the agenda is that we will get trapped in this web in some shape, way, or form. Open your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to look at one verse here. First Corinthians chapter 6. Actually, I'm going to invite you to stand again. And let's read this verse together. So it'll read best if you have a King James Version. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Ready? All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. You may be seated. What's the principle in this verse that the Apostle Paul is bringing out? Is there a principle that we can draw from that verse alone and make an application? What do you think if the Apostle Paul would have had one of these? You think he would have applied that verse, those words, to this? Is it possible? I think so. I think there's a principle there that he would have and that we can apply to technology. Technology, some shape or form, has always been and will always be. Like I said, can't get away from it. There was technology involved when they built the ark, when Noah built the ark. There was technology there. Different, perhaps, than what we know technology to be today, but there was technology there. And so even though technology isn't sin in and of itself, we need to face it. There's dangers associated with it. We can't get away from technology, but we must realize what it is. We must realize the potential that it has, both on the good and on the bad side of things. The good and the evil. So let's face it this morning with an honest heart. How many of us would say that technology is innocent? Neutral. It's neither here nor there. Well, obviously you can't raise your hand because you raised your hand before saying there's dangers associated with it, right? No one. And I'm with you. Well, let's ask the flip side of that question. How many of us realize that it is powerful? It is powerful to the level or to the point of where it can bind us. You see that? It can bind a person. It can not just a person. It can bind a group of people. It can bind a society. We live in a society that is bound. They are bound. The Apostle Paul recognized that there's many things in this life that are not wrong. They're not wrong. They're not sin in and of themselves. That's what he's saying. That's what he's recognizing in that verse that we read. But he's also recognizing that in some of those things that are lawful, that are okay, that I can have in my back pocket, or that I can wear, or that I can listen to, doesn't mean that it's innocent. He realized there's powers associated with some of these things that are lawful. Are you following me? And he concluded in his own heart and mind, I will not be brought under the power or the bondage of any of those things. So very possible that the Apostle Paul in his day, he would have had the opportunity for something like this. He would have said, too dangerous. Too dangerous. Maybe he realized, he looked at himself and says, I have a weakness for, and today I'm going to say, maybe you see in yourself, you recognize you have a weakness for technology. Then conclude in your own heart to do what the Apostle Paul said and say, I will not be brought under the power or under the bondage of technology. As we consider this sensitive topic, ask yourself this question. Am I free? Am I free from the bondage of technology? I'm not asking whether you enjoy technology. I'm not asking you whether you use technology, because we all do in some way, shape, or form. But am I free from the bondage of technology? How do we answer that? First off, we must be honest. Secondly, if we say we're free, and I praise God, I trust the majority of us here are free, hopefully. But that means, freedom means we're, this thing doesn't control us. Freedom means that this thing doesn't have a voice that I constantly hear. Do this. Check this. Freedom means I can put this thing down, I can go about my daily duties, and when I have time, I can check this thing if I want to. My life doesn't revolve around this thing. Free. Am I free from the bondage of technology? If technology has power over you, what do? Give it a good kick. A good hard kick. A kick that, you know, a picture that I have in my mind as a little boy, maybe 9 years old, eight, nine, somewhere in that age time frame. The only time I ever remember my dad playing ball with me, and there was only one kick he ever gave a ball that I can remember. But as a little youngster, I was so impressed with my father. This is in Paraguay. I don't even know where the ball came from. But I remember us boys being out there, and it was a Sunday afternoon, and we had some company, and somewhere, somehow, we got a hold of a ball. We didn't have balls, so I don't know whose ball it was. But I remember we were out there, you know, kicking the ball, and we're trying to impress each other as boys, you know, as boys do. And my dad and the visiting family, the father of that family, they came out, and, you know, they kind of watched us, and they probably thought, you think that's high? And I remember my dad taking that ball. And he gave that thing a kick, and I mean, it went sailing. It was a good, solid, hard kick. And that's what we need to do with technology. If it's binding us, if it's our bondage, give it a good kick. Now, how are we going to do this? Are we going to take this thing, go kick it? Well, you can do that. But I can go and pick it up. Right? That's what we normally do. We put something out of our life. We put it on the altar. Tendency is we go pick it back up. So how are we going to give this thing a good boot if it's our bondage? That's one way. Here's a principle in Jesus' teaching in Matthew 5. If thy right eye offend thee, do what? Pluck it out. If your right hand offends you, causes you to sin, Jesus says, do what? Cut it off. For it is better for you and I to go through life having only one eye or only one hand than to have both, two of each, but then end up in hell. So what's the principle there? This thing is your bondage. Cut it off. Pluck it out of your life. Literally. Get rid of it. Take time to nurture your relationship with God. And maybe you can pick this thing up again down the road and use it as a tool where you master it and it doesn't master you. But if this thing's mastering you, get rid of it. Get radical. We cannot play games. Especially not with the World Wide Web. It'll catch us. So, if you have a weakness, recognize it. And say with the Apostle Paul, I know it's not sin. It's not wrong in and of itself. But I will not be brought under the bondage. I will not be brought under the influence of its power. Question we need to ask ourselves, what do we value more? Our relationship with Christ, clear walk with God, or this? What do we value more? What's worth more, technology or your relationship with Jesus? What is worth more, the web, the smartphone, or my eternal soul? What's worth more? Sometimes we ask, or we might ask, is it right or is it wrong to use technology like tablets, like phones, like computers? Is there any law against X, Y, and Z? Is there any law against it? Well, the Apostle Paul gives us a better way of looking at things like this. Instead of asking, what's wrong? He just realizes the danger. And he says, some things I just will not do. And again, he's looking at himself. Maybe he realized, I'd be prone to. Let's face it, brothers and sisters, not everyone can handle this thing. We cannot expect everyone to handle this thing. It's not for everyone, Christian or not. It's not for everyone. I think the Apostle Paul would have us ask this question. Whatever it is, this morning it's this, and all that it represents. My use of this, my handling of this, my interaction with this, is it wise and helpful for me? And is it wise and helpful for those that I interact with, that I come in contact with? You see, this thing does more than just affect me. It affects me, and then I affect all those that I come in contact with. So is it wise? Is it helpful? Again, am I being dominated by this screen? Is it mastering me? Am I enslaved to it? Am I brought under the power of this technology? If we answer yes, give it a kick. Give it a good kick. I have heard and I have read testimonies of many a technology executive and their approach to technology. They're technology executives. Okay? Doesn't mean they're Christian, but they're tech executives. What I read, and this is a part of a testimony here, they often prohibit all gadgets on school nights and assign time limits on weekends. Why? Because they understand technology. And they said, during the week, off limits. On the weekends, we'll give you limited. Now that's interesting to note because many of these, like I said, are not Christian parents. And yet they're doing more than most Christian parents are doing. That's shocking. Parents in general often just take the opposite approach. Children can wake up with the screen. They can go throughout the day with the screen. They can sit at the dinner table with the screen. They can sit in the living room during family night with the screen. They can go to bed with the screen. Some of these executives say, it's not good. It's not healthy. Here's a testimony by the name of a man by the name of Chris Anderson, a former editor of Wired and now chief executive of 3D Robotics, a drone maker. He says he has instituted time limits and parental controls on every device in his home. Now here's the quote. My kids accuse me, and I normally don't use that word, but I'm reading it word for word the way it was given. My kids accuse me and my wife of being fascist and overly concerned about tech. And they say that none of their friends have the same rules. He said of his five children, ages 6 to 17, that's because we have seen the dangers of technology firsthand. I've seen it in myself. I don't want to see that happen to my kids. End quote. I'm giving us some of these secular testimonies so that you don't sit there and have an opportunity to say, well, Brother Henry, that's just you. That's just your interpretation. This is coming from technology executives. I have many, many testimonies stored away from over the years, both Christian and secular. Testimonies of how they have found trapped in technology. When I read of how some of these men, parents, view technology and the restrictions they put in place in their own home for their own children, It reminds me of the parable of the unjust steward in Luke 16. I don't understand. I don't know what all to do with what this unjust steward did there. But he was commended for what he did. And Jesus says there, the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And when I consider some of the testimonies of these tech executives and what they're doing, and then what many a Christian home is not doing, I have to say, they're wiser in their own generation than the children of light. That should cause us, if we were in that camp where we don't take an approach, a cautious approach and everything, it should cause us to hang our head in shame. But we should be humble enough and say, I can learn from them. I can learn from them. The people of this world being more shrewd, more intelligent in dealing with technology in their own family than the children of light. When you look at some of their lives, these high-tech executives and whatnot, they seem a little bit like drug lords. You know, many a drug lord doesn't use drugs. They know the danger of drugs, and they're not going to get trapped by it, but oh, they love to sell them. And some of these high-tech executives, that's how I view them. So they put caution in place for their own family, their own children, but they want you and I to buy it. They want us to have it. They make it sound like that you can't go through this life without it. They know the addictive powers. And they say, just like a drug lord says no to drugs, not all, but many, so some of these tech executives say no. Can't have free roaming, anytime screen time. It's too dangerous. You'll get addicted. It's not just the content that they might have if they're in their own bedroom. They realize that's there, but it's the addictiveness that they don't want. Addiction, technology. Really? Maybe something that's a bit too strong. Well, it's not. See, the people that understand technology, that invent technology, they understand the working of the human mind. They know the framework of a human mind. And you may or may not know this, but brain science actually shows it to be true. There's this thing called dopamine. You ever heard of dopamine? It's considered to be a happy drug. A happy drug that's released in our brains, and the function of it is to reward particular behaviors, particular things that you and I choose to do. If the action is easy, there's a strong danger for harmful addictions to be created. This is fairly easy. Hence the danger of addiction. They gave the example in this one health report that I was reading. They say if the action is easy, there is a strong danger for harmful addictions to be created, like sniffing cocaine, gambling, or just simply checking. our phones. Our brain, they say, compulsively tells our body to repeat those actions. And we know what repeated actions create. They create a habit. And you just do it over and over and over again. Listen to this. Listen carefully. These are not my words. Workers within app developers like Facebook openly admit that their apps are designed to take advantage of the addictive cycles created through dopamine releases. There you have it. They recognize this. They build their webs, their apps, around the functioning of our own brain, the framework of our brains. Brothers and sisters, these things are not innocent. We said earlier, yes, there's dangers associated, but are we willing to accept this as truth from the developers of these apps? Or are we just kind of tune it out? And say, oh, it's not that way. The more dings you hear, the more vibration and buzzes you feel, the number of followings that you have, and all the likes that you get, they release this dopamine within you, and it ties you a little bit more to technology as time goes by. Every time, I'm shocked at the amount of websites different people know or of individuals that have sites, and they say, well, he already has X amount of followings. He had X amount of views in such a short time frame. I don't go there. But there's an addiction to know these things. And if there's an addiction to know these things of other people and their statuses and all of what entails their life, the power on a personal level is greater yet. Oh, I got 10 likes. 2 minutes later, got to check to see if I got any more likes. 20 minutes go by. Let's see if I got any more people that read my whatever. There's an addiction. It's binding. It's not innocent. It's harmful. It's destructive. Now that's from a health brain science institute. Do we really need those institutes to tell us that these things are happening? Survey after survey brings out the fact that many, many individuals engage in compulsive time wasting on screens. I think we can relate. I think we can understand that. All is well, right? Our bodies compulsively or on impulse, sitting. Maybe you're sitting in the living room, you're visiting, you have friends over, you're sitting there. And without even knowing it or even really thinking about it, it's kind of just like on impulse. There you are. Oblivious to the conversation going on in the living room and trapped in this world. And we don't even realize it's happening many times. It's such a habit. Gotta keep up. Gotta keep up. If you gotta keep up, you're addicted. And if you're addicted, it needs a kick. Now, I'm not talking about someone overseas or someone in another country or someone from a different church, a different group somewhere. There's an emergency situation and you're keeping up with what's happening. That's not what I'm talking about. I think we understand that. I'm just talking about the everyday that doesn't even really make a difference in your life. You got to keep up. So, why is it so tough to put down the phone once we pick it up? Well, there's a lot of answers. There's a lot of factors that would go into the answering that question. But one major cue, one major reason is they've removed. Most technology now is void of stopping cues. What do I mean by that? Well, they say that today's media is designed that it continuously, constantly feeds our brain, our appetite. Media used to be filled with stopping cues. Back in the day when you had newspapers, I don't know if everyone here still knows what a newspaper is or not, some of you younger ones. But back in the day when they had newspapers, newspapers were confined to a particular amount of pages so that as you go through it, you put the thing down, that's it. You've gone through the newspaper. Television shows. Used to run on a weekly basis, weekly episodes. And when you watched one episode, you had to wait till next week to get another episode. That's all changed. The demand for information, the demand for entertainment, the demand in mankind has risen to the level of where they had to remove those cues, and if you so choose to, you can watch one episode after another episode after another episode after another episode. The stopping cues, the breaking cues have been removed. Some of the stuff I'm speaking from my pre-converted years. The new stuff, today's media and whatnot, I'm reading based on a report. What do we do today? What's commonly done today? I hardly use this to even look at news. But when I go to the Weather Network channel to see what the weather forecast is, there's usually news links right there. And I'm not saying it's all wrong to know what's happening. You know, be filled in a little bit. You got the wars going on. I'm not saying we shouldn't know what's going on. But not everybody needs to know what's going on. And nor does it help to have to know what's going on a daily basis, much less on an hourly basis. So today maybe you have a news article and you're reading it. When you're done reading it, what do? Content? You read it? Shut it off? Put it away? No, that's not a common practice. Now when you're done reading your news feed, now it's scroll. Oh, there's another one. I hope I'm not being too practical. But that's how we form habits. And these things are influencing us, binding us, putting us under their power. And the Apostle Paul said, I'm not going to go there. Listen. To me, it makes no difference. It makes a difference. Content obviously makes a difference. But you can call it documentaries. You can call it educational. I don't care what you call it. Okay? Good, wholesome. It can be singing. If this thing cannot be put down, I don't care how right the stuff is that you're listening to or that you're watching, it's not right. It's not right for you. So much of what glues our eyes to the screen is done under the guise of free. I guarantee you, if we had to pay for every news feed that we wanted to read, every video we wanted to watch, if we had to pay for each one, we'd do a whole lot less. But now it's done as a free thing. Doesn't cost you an eye out of our pocket. Mind you, we pay a monthly subscription fee or whatever you call this, a plan for your phone or whatever. You pay for access to the web. But just because we don't pay out of pocket doesn't mean it's free. There's hardly anything in this world that's free. Let's not be fooled. Well, we have these tool event sales, and you buy this and you get a free tool. And it is a free tool to you, but it wasn't free. It wasn't free. Jira Tools had to buy into that program in order to give you a free tool. To you, it's free in the sense that you didn't pay for that tool. And you even bought this other set, a set that comes with, you know, that you bought where that included this freebie at a discounted price. But it's not free. You may not be giving them money, but apps and websites, they make their money from our addictions to them. Oh, your website, your whatever, becomes so popular, they want to start advertising on your site. That's how they make their money. That's why they want us addicted. They also like the likes. They like to see that traffic number go up. That's what they want. It speaks addiction to them. The more mankind gets addicted, the more money they rake in. In essence, brothers and sisters, we give them our time for free, and they sell it to advertisers for billions. You and I, we give them our time for free. We don't pay them. But they take that free time that we give them and sell it for billions of dollars. What does that say? They realize time is valuable. Brothers and sisters, we too need to realize time is valuable and not waste it. Not waste it. Again, if you sit here this morning and you say, I'm not addicted, I praise God for each soul that has control of their device. But we're living in a society in a world of smartphones. And by smartphone, again, I'm meaning technology. A world of smartphones. But listen, we as a people, we the people should be the smart ones. Not rely on this to be the smart one. This thing will lead us astray if we let it. We need to be the smart ones and not allow the smartphones to make us the dumb ones. And I don't say that jokingly. I want to throw out a challenge to us here this morning. Challenge is this. Can you go on a technology fast? Hit the power button. Put it on a shelf somewhere. And leave it there for a week. Just 1 week. That's not that long, is it? Just 1 week. Now, I realize there's probably some rationalization going on in here and saying, well, I need it for business, business associates, and all of that. Challenge is, can you put this thing down for a week? Just 1 week. What do you fear? Other than business contacts, what do you fear you would feel or miss out on if you put this thing on a shelf for a week? If you put this thing on the shelf, and maybe a week is too long to start off with, so try a day. Try a day. If you feel withdrawal symptoms, you're addicted. I was given to alcohol. I was given to cigarettes. I know what addictions are. I also know what withdrawal symptoms are. If you feel withdrawal symptoms, then that doesn't matter what you say with your mouth, whether you're addicted or not. You can deny it all you want with words. This is one area where you can trust your feelings. They'll tell on you. They'll tell the truth about you. Withdrawal symptoms don't lie. Anyone who's not been an alcoholic, has never gone through withdrawal symptoms and will never go through withdrawal symptoms. And they can honestly say, I'm not addicted. But anyone who has withdrawal symptoms or has gone through that knows they were addicted. It is no different with technology. So try it. It's a challenge. Shelf it. You know, there's days, weekends, this thing doesn't come off the charger. It just stays on the bookshelf in my office. And I love to leave it there. I honestly do. I normally don't bring this on a Sunday morning, other than today I purposely brought it. So is there really a danger here for Christians? Like I said, we won't get done, but let me just try to bring this to a close here. Studies have shown that technology addictions affect our emotional health. There's people that are emotionally weak and sick, and this is a major contributor. That should be reason enough to already say, let's be careful. There are definite drawbacks and hindrances that come with technology. Now, ask this question: how could technology impact our ability to enjoy life and grow in the Lord? So obviously we're putting it in the context of negatively affecting us. How can this negatively impact our ability to enjoy life and grow in our relationship with God? Number one, I want us to think about it at least somewhat critically. Lasting joy, lasting happiness, if you will, a lasting stability, a being a fruitful Christian, a fruit-bearing Christian, does not come as a result of spending time on here. Read Psalm 1 and you'll know where it does come from. It comes from spending time with God and in His Word, and meditating on it day and night. You do that, the promise is there given. You'll be like a tree planted by the waters that will grow and bear fruit. Meditate on the Word of God day and night. I've yet to come up with across a survey, and it might be out there, and I didn't search for it specifically. It only comes to me, my mind now, but I wonder if there's a survey out there that's been done on how people would reveal or relate to their thinking at nighttime and what it is. If it's based on the feeds of technology, or whether it's from something they read outside of technology. And not maybe not even, because they're probably not all Christians, so not even referring to just the Word of God in this context, but I'm pretty convinced that the majority, a high percentage of the majority, would say, I go to sleep thinking of what I've read or seen on here. So ask yourself the question based on Psalm 1. Do I want to live a blessed life, a life that has long-term happiness? Do I want stability in my life during hard and trying and maybe even terrible times? Do I want to be fruitful and prosper in everything I do? That means less time on here and more in the Word of God. That's the answer. What does it mean to meditate? I won't be surprised that in the next 20 years, the word meditate will be extinct. You who are here today, when you turn 20 or 24, I doubt we'll be able to go up to the youngster like that and say, do you meditate? Can you tell me what does it mean to meditate? They're going to look at you and say, what language are you speaking? Technology is robbing us of the ability to meditate. Technology is training our minds to go to Google for everything. Google has all the answers. Has many answers, and not all of them are right. So hide the word of God in your heart. Apply the principle of Deuteronomy 6 to your life. Write them up on the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Have them be as frontlets between your eyes. This is talking about the word of God, what we're supposed to do. Are we doing that, or are we doing that with our phones? Do we have our phones on the doorposts? Do we have our phone as the, you know, frontlets? Technology. It has been proven that a constant and an abundance of time spent on screens changes the way you think. Let me read you another testimony, and looks like I failed to write down his name. Okay? Thinking of the truth of technology affecting the way we think. Over the past few years, I've had an uncomfortable sense of someone or something has been tinkering with my brain, remapping the neural circuitry, reprogramming the memory. My mind isn't going, so far as I can tell, but it's changing. I'm not thinking the way I used to think. I can feel it most strongly when I'm reading. Immersing myself in a book or a lengthy article used to be easy. My mind would get caught up in the narrative or the turns of the argument, and I'd spend hours scrolling through long stretches of prose. That's rarely the case anymore. Now my concentration often starts to drift after two or three pages. I get fidgety, lose the thread, begin looking for something else to do. I feel as if I'm always dragging my wayward brain back to the next. The deep reading that used to come naturally has become a struggle. And what the net seems to be doing is chipping away my capacity for concentration and contemplation. My mind now expects to take in information the way the net distributes it, in a swiftly moving stream of particles. Once I was a scuba diver in the sea of words. Now I zip along the surface like a guy on a jet ski. Just surface. That's a testimony. There's many others like it. The danger is obvious. It affects our thinking. Meditation on God's word becomes challenging. Children, their attention span gets shorter and shorter and shorter. Why? Because they're used to things moving at a rapid pace. I was blessed to see the children up here for 20 minutes this morning. And Brother Abe had their attention, it seemed like, for the most part, had their attention the whole 20 minutes. But that's not always the case. This digitalization of everything is robbing us of something very vital. Here's another testimony of a man. His name is Peter Kreeft. He says, before cell phones, we run away like conscientious little bugs, scared rabbits on our machines, our slaves, our masters, clicking, scrolling, tapping, like sharing anything. We think we want peace and silence and freedom and leisure, but deep down we know that this would be unendurable to us. In fact, we want to complexify our lives. We don't have to, we want to. We want to be harried and hassled and busy. Unconsciously, we want the very thing we complain about. For if we had leisure, we would look at ourselves and listen to our hearts and see the great gaping hole in our hearts and be terrified, because the hole is so big that nothing but God can fill it. But mankind seeks it here. So how could technology impact our ability to enjoy life and grow in the Lord? It robs us of seeing the glory of God, and it robs us from being conformed more and more into the glorious image of God. I can just put it in a nutshell. So in closing, I want to give us a couple of primary recommendations to help us with our view and handle technology. Think of technology as a digital diet and nutrition. Think of it in terms of diet and nutrition. Ephesians 5:16 says to us, be wise. Be wise. And make the most of your time, right? Redeeming the times. Why? Because the days are evil. Redeem the time. Well, how can we do this and apply this to the use of technology? Well, we talked about those stopping cues that have been removed. It's time to implement some time limits. You want to redeem the time? Make sure there's time limits. And I'm going to say conservative time limits. Set limits on how much time you spend in front of the screen. Set limits on how much you will allow your children to spend in front of a screen. Limit the number of videos that you watch. And I say that hesitantly, realizing there are some good ones. Track the time. Most devices, and I don't know where to find it, but most devices have it in here that you can actually track your time, your usage. Use it if you know where it's at. You might find it revealing. Last number of months, I'm not sure what happened. I got a new phone, and all of a sudden I get a notice saying, you have used 16% less than the previous month. I'm not sure where to find that setting, but it's in there somewhere. But it tracks it. But I was glad to see it was going down. Physically, track the amount of time you spend just surfing. A waste of time. Maybe put your phone on a do not disturb mode or airplane mode. I think, I'm not sure what the difference is between the two, but do something. Take control of your time. Don't let this thing control your time. Spoke with a man just in the last week, and I asked him, we were in a conversation, and so I just asked him, so did you get this done this week? He had the same assignment given to him, so this is part of the course we're taking, so it's one of those men, and I asked him, did you get it done? And guess what his answer was? No. Why not? Because when I get home, I'm tired, and I find myself clicking on YouTube, and then the next thing I realize, it's time for bed. It's late. That's not an isolated testimony, I'm sure. There's many people that would share that testimony if they were honest. So think of it as a diet. Make good use, wise decisions, what you're going to do with technology. Healthy decisions, spiritually healthy. Secondly, think of it as nutrition. Philippians 4:8, we know the verse. Think on these things. Ask yourself, is what I'm doing with my phone, is it honorable? Is it pure? Is it of good report? Is it something that I, in the sight of God, could recommend others do? If the answer is no, then you shouldn't be doing it. So let's use tools as tools and not let them control us. Let's make the best use of time. Let's meditate on the things of God. Let's carry around the knowledge of God in these earthly vessels, these jars of clay. Not this. Not this. May God add his blessing.